Welcome back. Astronomers are saying they could detect signs of advanced civilizations by searching for their defense mechanisms. That's right. Check this out. If they just find the cosmic blast shields, then you'll find the aliens. That's what they're saying. Check out the story right now over at coasttocoastam.com. It's right there in the news. It is Friday night. Taking your phone calls is open lines. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and more of your phone calls next. Welcome back to Coast Friday night open lines. It just may be the sun. Let's go to Wild Card RJ in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You're up next.
Hey man, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. I just have a theory on Donald Trump's wall, really. I actually believe that, yeah, it's going to start out with keeping the illegals out and stuff, but I think it's going to evolve to keeping us in because, the next world war is right around the corner, and government said, hey, they're not going to do the draft, but I think they're going to do it. And they put up that wall. We can't escape south. And I think they might just annex Canada because we're going to need more land, resources, and people. So, I mean, it just makes sense to me, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, great point, RJ. And I've said this a million times. You go and you build a wall around your house and you think you're, blocking the world out, but you're just closing yourself in. Always look at life that way. Seriously. All right, let's see what we got here. Let's go first time caller line, Fred in St. Louis. Fred, you're up next on Coast.
How you doing, sir? Can we keep talking about symbols?
Sure.
Okay, the symbol I would like to discuss is a symbol that, in my own personal study, I think has practically destroyed Western civilization, and that would be the peace sign.
Why is that,
And
Fred?
I'll tell you why. Because the peace sign is an old Anglo-Saxon rune of protection reversed. Anybody that knows runes would know that. And I'm sure that the creator of that symbol, whose name was Bertrand Russell, who was an occultist, he knew that. Now, okay, what is the rest of the rune? The rest of the rune, or the rest of the symbol, is the outside of it, which is an O. Some people say that there was no zero or O rune or rune for the unknown, but where you cast your runes would be a circle, and that would be your unknown. So if you put the peace symbol together as it's displayed, you have basically no protection from the unknown. Now, I find it very interesting, sir, that that symbol should have shown up in San Francisco with Timothy Leary and a million hits of LSD.
Okay, it kind of makes sense, but the thing is, Fred, for me, how would the peace sign itself bring down Western civilization or start to bring it down unless you know what the power of the rune is, right? Or is it imbibed automatically with some magic? But unless you really know what it is, then how could it do that? It's very interesting phone call, though. It's worth looking into. Let's go to West of the Rockies, Rachel in Idaho. Rachel, you're up next on Coast.
Hi.
Hi.
So I just want to mention something. You had a caller a few times ago that mentioned something about your interviewing skills, and you were really modest on that, but it's true. What you seem educated about, you asked good questions. You don't just ask fluff questions or just something like, you ask deep questions. And it's why I just love when you're on. I just love listening to you when you're on. So I learn more, even if I know a subject, I always learn more after you've interviewed the person.
Thank you for that, Rachel. But I'll say this again, and thank you for that. It was unsolicited, but I am just like everybody else. I want to know, I want to learn, and hopefully I'm in a position where I'm asking the questions that you are thinking about at that moment, right? And that's the connection. And if we do that, then we all win, you know? And sure, that's really what it boils down to. But thank you for that, Rachel. Did you have a question?
So I wanted to just kind of go over, because it applies to what's happening today. So for, I don't know for how long, I've been looking into how did we get in this mess. And I know some of the stuff that started with the barons back in the late, the turn of the century, it's 1800s and stuff, with all the buying up everything there and stuff. But still, I was trying to figure out how did we get in the situation we're at. And one of the things that popped into my mind was, and I wondered, you know, like with Soros, I don't understand why he's not being brought up for treason. I don't understand why that's, and maybe that's being looked at, because I give Trump a lot more credit than some people do. I think there's things going on underneath the surface and stuff. Anyway, back, you had, Coast to Coast had, so that's kind of the whole, the umbrella of it. Coast to Coast had a guest on, a Philip Haney.
Okay.
See Something, Say Nothing, a book about Homeland Security.
Right.
And I, that perked my interest. So I read that. And when I was reading that, and I'm in my late 50s and stuff, so I was reading that, some of the stuff was somewhat familiar to me. But the name Dulles, the Dulles brothers came up.
Right.
And so, okay, so I put that over there on the back burner. And then a guest came on, Peter Haney, on Mary's Mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read Mary's Mosaic, and then Mary's Mosaic led me to the Devil's Chessboard, because of the Dulleses, because
right.
Foster and Alan Dulles.
Right.
Holy smokes.
Yes.
That was a busy man. I mean, you got to give him credit. For
The Dulles brothers seem to be, well, and the Bushes too as well. It's really funny when you read a lot of the research that's been put into, you know, the CIA and some of the connections that that Washington has had going back to the turn of the century and so forth, and the banking system. Those are two names that come up whenever you're looking into something bad, right? I mean, it's just like, it's always there. Rachel, thank you for the phone call. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely. And have a great, safe rest of your holiday season. Let's go to Wild Card 3, Walter Graham, Washington. You're up next on Coast.
Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, I was wondering, I've been wondering why talk radio doesn't put a moratorium on people coming up with these the guests and things that are trying to find weird spirits, demons, and these kind of things, and trying to have them appear and go to jails and stuff and look for. It seems to me if we could for a year just look for holy spirits, I mean, in terms of like, the spirits of the saints, try to contact them, have people like Fatima. Basically, all that was the Holy Spirit appearing, supposedly, Mary, the spirit of Mary.
Right.
And then she showed the power that she had by moving the sun. That was that. I mean, it seems to me if we could get one angel, one spirit to make contact with us and stay with us, man, that would be saving the world. I mean, because you wouldn't be able to say, no, I'm going to keep murdering, raping, and all this. And I mean, I mean, just put real religion out for once and see if we could get it. Because it seems to me we don't even, you know, we're not really going after that.
Walter, you make a great point, my friend. That's a really, really great point. Well, let me ask you this, Walter. Would you watch a TV show with a bunch of ghost hunters, spirit hunters, you know, going into an abandoned church, trying to make contact with Gabriel? Would you watch Absolutely. That TV show?
Absolutely.
There you go. Maybe we should go and try to put this thing together.
Yeah, I talked to a priest the other day. And it was on a Catholic radio show, and I says, you know, I don't understand. I was raised Catholic, but since I've taken on other things, but I says, I don't understand why at Mass we don't sit out and say, now, wait a minute, let's see if we can really get Jesus to appear here. I mean, it used to be a time when angels appeared, and I said, well, I'm talking real God on Channel 4, you know, on TV, put him on. You know, and everybody says, they say that's too much. In fact, the priest told me, he says, in the Catholic religion, we're not even supposed to try to contact saints or Holy Spirits. He says, if Mary appears to you, that's fine. But that's what that priest told me. I said, man, that doesn't sound right to me.
Great phone call, Walter. And you're right. What if we did, thank you for the phone call. Have a great holiday. What if we did something like, what if there was a spirit or saint or angel Ouija board, right? And you could Ouija your way in. Think about that. You know, I don't know what you would call it. Dan's laughing at me. I think it's a great idea. Maybe we should put a TV show like that together. Let's go to Wildcard Mark in Hutchinson, Kansas. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, Jimmy, that's Hutchinson, Kansas, and thank you so very much for taking my call.
Okay, you're breaking up, Mark. You're going to have to call back. There's something wrong with the phone line there. Let's go to Christopher in Mississippi. Christopher, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Christopher.
I'd like to start out with one of my favorite George Carlin quotes. Symbols are for the symbol-minded.
He's right.
And anyways, I was calling, I liked your little comment about the global warming thing, and, do you think it could be any other cause besides us? I mean...
Look, Christopher, for me, when you listen to both sides of the argument, look, I'm not a scientist, right? I'm not a meteorologist. I have eyeballs. And I'm looking at things, and I listen to both sides. I've seen so many documentaries. I've read so much material. I mean, for years and years. And I understand both sides. Both sides can't be wrong. Both sides can't be right. But the one thing that both sides never discuss is the sun. That's all. Pull the sun into the mix. Why don't we actually discuss that? That's all that I'm saying, because if you plug the sun in to all of these questions on both sides, then you start to get all the answers. And maybe that's why they don't discuss it. I'm just saying.
I'm thinking, you know, a while back I was looking at NASA's website, and they had mentioned something, you know, there's solar cycles. I believe every 10 years, you know, we hit like a peak.
Right.
And then, you know, it drops. And, you know, another 10 years, you're at your minimum, and then another 10 years, you're at your peak. But apparently, out of the last peak we were supposed to hit and then to start declining again, apparently we didn't peak at that time, and we just kept on climbing.
Right, right. And you're right about that, Christopher. And just let me say this. What are the headlines saying the last couple of weeks about the weather? This is the coldest winter ever, and it's hitting earlier, and that get ready. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't.
I think a better description is, rather than it being the coldest ever, you know, I think the weather pattern has just kind of been flipped upside down, you know. There's been times, see, I grew up in Minnesota, and there's been countless times this year where I look at the weather and, you know, it comes up for here, but then it comes up for Minnesota too. So I know, you know, the weather for my friends and family. And I tell you what, I moved to Mississippi to get away from that polar vortex stuff. But
it followed you.
They've had it warmer than we have throughout the summer.
It's exactly what I'm talking about. And Christopher, thank you for the phone call and have a great holiday season. But that's exactly it. You know, we don't have all the answers. But when you start to plug in something simple like the sun, both sides, the deniers and the ones that are screaming about the carbon footprints and what we have been doing, both sides are answered. That's all that I'm saying. All right, let's go to who's on the let's go to Wild Card. Ronald, you've been up the longest, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're up next. Three, two, one. Okay, let's go to Walt in Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're up next on Coast.
Hi, Mr. Church. As I say to Mr. Norrie, I'm honored to be on air with you, sir.
It's an honor to speak with you, Walt.
I've never discussed the global warming / climate change issue with George. I was on once with Mr. Surratt, and we briefly discussed it, and I'd like to sort of reiterate what I said to Richard Surratt about it. I'm of the opinion that the global warming hype is largely based on politically motivated hysteria and junk science, but Mr. Church, I'm also of the opinion that mankind is engaged in a type of experiment, and we are unwittingly using ourselves as guinea pigs.
How so, Walt? How so?
Well, Mr. Church, we're rapidly approaching a world population of 10 billion people.
Yes.
That is 10,000 million people.
Yep.
And obviously, Mr. Church, the human population cannot increase ad infinitum. Sooner or later, there's going to be some serious repercussions with the environment.
Sure.
I like to use the metaphor of, to sort of symbolize our extravagant lifestyle we have in this country with the old Cadillac Eldorado car. If you recall the old Cadillac, they were like a half a block long. They had a 500 cubic inch engine, and
I had one. I had one. I'd drive it today if I still did. It was a convertible, too.
They're terrific old cars. I had a big old Fleetwood, which I sold recently.
Right.
The problem with cars is storing them. You gotta have a warehouse like Jay Leno. So
yeah, hey, Walt, we're gonna hit a break here in 30 seconds. So do you have a question or a comment?
Well, getting back to the issue, like I say, you can't have 10 billion people running around with Cadillac Eldorados with 500 cubic inch engines. Sooner or later, the Earth, the environment simply couldn't take it. Now, as I told Richard Surratt, there's a simple solution to the global warming issue. That's simply to plant trees, because trees turn carbon dioxide into wood. So essentially what we're doing is, you're taking the carbon dioxide out of the air and storing it as wood.
There you go. And Walt, thank you for the phone call, and happy holidays to you. That's actually a good idea. If you own a Cadillac Eldorado, you got to plant a tree. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. Open lines. Let's do this next. We'll be right back. I love conspiracy, paranormal talk radio. I was raised on it. It's what I do, and I do it every single night of the week. You should go and check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. Just click on my name right there, Coast to Coast AM. It'll take you straight to my site. And we do it Monday through Thursday, every single night. And there's a few cool things about this that are going on. First, we are live 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, live right before George and Coast to Coast. So you get like 7 hours of straight great talk radio. Second, everything that we do is free. That's it. Just go and click, and you're going to listen for free. Third, just like Coast, our standards are very, very high. We only have the very best and the brightest guest, period. And fourth, we're live Monday through Thursday, 4 nights a week. And then I head over here to Coast, and obviously, I never take a day off. That's because I love it. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. We'll be right back with your open lines right after this. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast, taking your calls. Let's go straight east to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Gordon, you're up next.
Hey, Jimmy, long time no see. Lakeland is squarely between Orlando and Tampa, and I'm good friends with my Congressman Dennis Ross, who is the third-ranking Republican, and just got put on the transition team for Donald Trump. So you know some of my grievances if I haven't said them. I say them too often. George is real generous. But on since I'm probably going to go and contact him and try to put together a list of things that will be helpful for Donald Trump and Mike Pence, I want to reach out to you. And, of course, you remember me calling in with some of my grievances where I agree, I voted for Trump, I like him, I didn't trust Ms. Clinton, even though she had some great ideas, but I think that I have some areas where he could improve about not using tax dollars to make or guarantee college loans, to let students defend themselves in bankruptcy, and things like downsizing Obamacare so it can be affordable. So what I know that the grid is a big thing with you and George and the rest of them, and I'm trying to put together a cohesive list so that when I reach out to Congressman Dennis Ross, the third ranking Republican, that it'll be short and concise, one or two pages, and I can get all my facts together, and I want to get your ideas so that we can have one voice. And we can't agree on everything, but we can agree on a lot of things. So what do you think I should put on my list or take off or tweak it?
Gordon, I don't do politics, brother. I just don't do it. I don't. I'm apolitical. I'm asexual when it comes to politics. I'm just right there, man. I've got no reproductive glands when it comes to politics. I just don't have it.
If that's the case, could I kind of make up the difference and throw in a little bit of my opinions?
Well, we just don't, Gordon. I respect you and thank you for the phone call, but you know that I just don't do politics. I really don't, and I wouldn't have anything to add to it. And there you go. But thank you for the phone call, though, and thank you for listening. And happy holidays. Somebody just said in Twitter, Church, man, say Merry Christmas, man. What are you doing? Well, I just let it slip. I only did it because I read the tweet. All right. I'm still saying happy holidays. The tweet said Merry Christmas. And I said I'd read some tweets tonight. That's all. Let's go to first time caller line. Jim in Evansville, Indiana. Jim, how you doing? Welcome to Coast.
I'm just fine. Yourself?
I'm good, man. I've been to Evansville. Nice town.
Hey, thank you very much. It's nice. It's an honor to talk to you. Going back to what you were saying about the signs and stuff.
Yes.
When I was in high school, I got a peace sign, a belt buckle, a belt with a peace sign belt buckle.
Do you still have it? I've got mine.
No, sir, I don't.
Okay.
My dad just really come in court, and he said, that's a broken cross.
I remember, and you're breaking up a little bit, Jim. You've got some issues with the phone system. But I remember my parents saying the same thing. And I knew when I came home with that peace sign belt buckle that I was in for it. You know, they would find a way. But it was a good way for us to protest, wasn't it, as kids?
Yeah, and didn't get my hair cut.
Right.
In the 70s and stuff. But I was just wanting to mention is that my dad swore up and down. He said that's a Satanist thing towards God, and it said that it was a broken cross.
Yeah. I remember hearing the same thing. What's that?
Have you heard that before?
Absolutely. Heard it all the time. Sure. And you know how I protest, and thank you for the phone call, Jim, and happy holidays. My way of protesting was wearing my peace sign belt buckle and playing Kiss records really, really loud in my bedroom. And my parents got the message. Let's go to west of the Rockies, Todd in Morro Bay, California, right here on the West Coast. Todd, you're up next.
Hello.
Hello, Todd.
Hi, I was calling in reference to the outdoor heaters, say at a restaurant or people's patios. How many of those are running continuously?
Right.
To the global warming.
Okay. It would have to be a lot of heaters, wouldn't it?
Well, one restaurant here in Morro Bay has 10 of them.
Right.
It's real foggy here.
Right.
And they'll run them all day long.
Right.
And how many restaurants have those on their right. patios?
Right.
And they're like 100,000 BTUs.
Right. But you got to stay warm, Todd. And if you think about it, it's not any different. If you let's rock back the calendar a little bit. Let's go back to 1800. Okay. No electricity, right? No electricity. Right. We can agree on that. But so therefore, to stay warm, not outdoor heaters, but fires, fire pits, fireplaces, fires, not heaters, open flame. Wouldn't it be the same thing?
Yes.
So?
If there was truly global warming, then don't you think they, by eliminating those heaters, it would make an effect across the nation? How many millions of those heaters are running?
Right.
Every day or every night?
Well, there's that, but I'll tell you, I hear you, Todd, but one of the things that I've always interested in, and I think I actually talked about this a couple of weeks ago on Coast, is if you think about all of the black roofs, seriously, black roofs in every country around the globe that are reflecting sunlight, getting hot, right? And roads and asphalt roads and all of the blackness that we have on this planet that are heating up and reflecting heat. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the outdoor heaters that you're talking about, that's part. But think about that. All of those hot. You ever been on a roof in the middle of the summer?
Yeah.
It's a lot hotter than the grass, right?
Right.
Okay, there you go. That's one of my points. So I hear you, Todd. I really do. And I think it's a great point.
But I heard on your program in reference to the satellites, infrared satellites pointing at the poles,
right?
The poles up,
right? Yeah,
sounds like we're creating it.
Could be too, as well. Yeah, and thank you for the phone call, Todd. And again, happy holidays, and be safe out there. Let's go to Let's just go in order. Let's go to Kurt in Cyprus. Kurt, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy. I'm really enjoying the show tonight. I always enjoy when you host.
Thank you, Kurt.
Been listening since the Art Bell days. Only my second call and all that time. The other time I called and got right through to George. And this time I seem to do pretty well getting through. Not much trouble. Anyway, getting to it. I concur with your theory about the sun affecting climate change. I'm reading a book now called Totalitaria. And he touches on the fact that Russian scientists had first discovered a few years back that there hasn't been warming for about the last 17 years. And they believe that actually, based on sunspot activity, that we're heading into possibly another mini ice age, probably approximately 2034 to start. And so also one other thing I want to mention is that I heard another show the other night that Al Gore's mentor, Dr. Revelle, had actually changed his ideas on global warming and came out with that. And Al Gore just made a comment, flippantly said, oh, he's getting senile.
Well, yeah. You know, Kurt.
That was his mentor.
Yeah. And we were, Kurt, thank you for the phone call, because we were talking about that during the break, actually, here in the studio. And that is how the data on both sides, they're both manipulating the data and fidgeting with the numbers. You know, and they have to present their argument in the best way that they can. I get that, and we would all do it. Let's go to Ronald in Minneapolis. Ronald, you're up next.
Hi, Mr. Church. I'm so glad that you answered the call. I love your show, and I just had a couple of questions. I'm calling from Minneapolis, and I just have three real quick questions for you. One, I want to know about that. What is your opinion on the contrails? And then also, what is your opinion on Marilyn Monroe, that she couldn't spell, she was misspelling all her words? And then also, what do you think about the president's, I know you said that you don't discuss politics or anything, but what do you think about the president's press conference today, where the lady fainted? In the press conference, do you think it was a distraction?
Right.
But really, my most important comment is that today I was out. So I'm in Minneapolis, and you know, it's very cold. So it's been like 8 degrees below zero, and but I was out at about 9 o'clock a.m. and I saw about maybe four or five airplanes that flew over our city, and they were all spreading contrails.
Right.
So I just want your opinion. That's the most important opinion I want to know. What do you think about that?
Right. And thank you for the phone call, Ronald. I was talking, there was a report that came out earlier this week. I don't have it right in front of me. But basically, what scientists want to do to plug in and fill up the ozone hole that we have down at the South Pole is to spray. And listen to this. Everybody look at me here in the studio. Look at me. Listen to what I'm preaching. They want to spray limestone dust in the atmosphere, and that the limestone dust will reflect the sun like sulfuric acid does, right? And it does. That's effective, right? But and reflect the sun and reduce the heat. But this is the thing. It will, that limestone dust reacts as a base. And because it reacts as a base in an acid situation, because it reacts as a base, it will rain, check this, and listen, salt. Salt. It will rain salt. Now, how can that be a good idea? And imagine that spinning out of control. Salt. Acid rain is one thing. How about salt rain, salt water in your backyard, on our crops, on our skin? We depend on, I'm not making this up, nothing like fresh rainwater, right? Go outside, it's raining, man. Put a cup out there, capture it, take a swig. Fresh rainwater. How about a fresh cup of salt water? I'm not making this up. Somebody thinks that this is a good idea. And imagine that getting crazy in the atmosphere, not only melting the snow and the ice that is in Antarctica, right? You're not blocking it. You're accelerating. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Salt rain. I'd rather have the acid rain, right? All right, let's bust out a couple of more phone calls really quick. Let's go to Joshua in Nevada City. Joshua, you're up next.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy. I just wanted to add something to the last thing you were just talking about the limestone being sprayed in the atmosphere, you said?
Yep.
How is it that it would turn into salt? You're saying that it reacts somehow in the atmosphere?
Yeah, it reacts as a base.
Because, I mean, limestone itself is, I mean, it would be good for us. It wouldn't be unhealthy at all if it rained, and it would be healthy for crops and things like that. It's one of the most common things that a farmer sprays on their field.
Yeah, Joshua, I get you, right? But in the report itself, they said this is what will happen. We'll block out the sun. We'll reduce a few degrees. We'll be able to plug in the ozone hole that is in in the South Pole, but it will rain salt. Now, I'm just saying that just in my mind, salt water raining on crops, on soil. Imagine that. After it evaporates, you're talking about white salt all over a field. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, that's definitely not the best thing for crops and things like that.
No, it isn't. Okay, did you have a question, Joshua?
Well, so I keep hearing in the discussion about the climate change thing that it seems like it's always like a this or a that, which, you know, like this dualistic kind of thinking, where it seems like a lot of the scientists that I've been listening to that I prefer their opinion on, they seem to be like, they point to everything that, yes, it is part of a natural cycle of the sun, which is what a lot of the climate change supposed deniers say, is that, yeah, if it's getting warmer, it's part of these natural bigger cycles and nothing that we're doing
right
to do with it.
Right.
But it's like what you said with the black asphalt, the amount of deforestation. I mean, you can see it from Google Earth where
right.
There should be just continuous stretches of forest. There's just patch after patch after patch of cleared areas. And all of that mixed with the burning of fossil fuels and then the addition of even nuclear power heating it up and then that natural cycle, that which it might be kind of getting into a warmer cycle now, or some type of cycle that's causing these global patterns, that the culmination of all those things, it's obvious that everything has some effect. So it's obvious that whatever's going on now is a result of all those things. The question is how much of an effect would it have if we actually stopped all the fossil fuel burning?
That's exactly that best call of the night. Thank you, Joshua. Absolutely. And I just need to say this, and I don't want to be negative, and I don't want to sound it's just that if we stopped everything, everything, humanity, would the planet still heat up right now, 2016, 2017, 2018? Would we still see those same climate changes without us here? Now, are we speeding it up? Could be. Are we slowing it down? Are we slowing down the inevitable? You know, I don't know. But I think that is one of the great points. It just may be the sun. It just may be we're not causing it. And if we weren't here to cause it, what would be going on? These are the questions that need to be answered. And I don't hear anybody out there going at this from a full frontal attack. And I don't understand why everybody is so reticent to do so. Well, it's a great show tonight. I'd like to thank Douglas Rushkoff and all the callers who phoned in. Thank you so much. Thank you to Dan, Gina, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, George, and Tom. Tomorrow night, my guests are Ralph Ellis and Howard Bloom. Sitting in for George Norrie, this is Jimmy Church, and you've been listening to Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Teppy.